This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is program number 11 of this series. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I want to talk to you this afternoon about a merry heart, particularly about what Solomon said about a merry heart. There's three passages I want us to look at. One is Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, where Solomon said, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance." Proverbs 15:15 says, "He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." And Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine." Now, when Solomon's talking about a merry heart, some translations translate this, "a cheerful heart." And that would be good. Really, we're talking about a cheerful disposition. "A cheerful disposition doeth good like medicine." Well, that's a merry heart. My father-in-law has mastered the talent of having a merry heart. He's in his 90s, and he has an expression he uses sometimes. "It's a good life if you don't weaken." Now, he has weakened. Physically, he has weakened. He doesn't get himself up much anymore. We help him up, and if he needs to go somewhere, we go in a wheelchair. And he has mentally weakened. You don't really sit down and carry on normal conversation with him anymore. But he'll still talk to you, and he'll give you that big smile. And that expression, "it's a merry heart if you don't weaken," is not talking about weakening physically or weakening mentally. He's talking about weakening in your attitude. Just take a good attitude about life and have a merry heart. And when you sit down with the old fella, he'll still give you a great big smile. Isn't that beautiful? Well, what does Solomon mean when he says a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance? Well, the countenance is how you look. You know, one of the best ways to look nice is to smile. You know what they do when they get ready to take a picture? They'll tell everyone, "Now you say cheese," because when you say cheese, you frame your mouth much like a smile, and the silliness of saying that kind of makes everyone smile anyway. And then they snap the picture. You don't want a picture of an old dour face of yours. You want a picture where you look happy and you smile. It's a cheerful countenance. I tell you what, that's the best way to look nice. And that works better than makeup. A lot of times ladies will put on makeup to try to make themselves look beautiful. But if they put makeup on a scowl and then keep their scowl, it'll still just look like a made-up scowl. But even without makeup, if they will smile, they will look beautiful and people will be attracted to that. And so a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. And then this, "He that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast." When I think of a continual feast, I think of myself in my younger days. I could eat and eat and eat. I used to love these church dinners where we would have dinner on the grounds and everyone would bring all their casseroles and vegetables and meats and lay this out on this table. And I'd get in line, and by the time I came out of that line, I had a plate full. I could sit down and eat that plate full and then return and go through line for a second plate full. And then I could get up and go to the dessert table and get a plate full of desserts. And one of the first things I'd do when I got home was look in the refrigerator to see if there was something to eat. I'll tell you, I used to be able to eat like that. Well, I can't do that anymore, and I have to watch what I eat. And actually, I have found that if I eat very much, then I can make myself miserable. And so I have to watch that now. But I think of a continual feast where you just have one good thing after another, and it goes on and on like that. "He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast," because he's always looking for and finding things that are good and that reinforce this joy that he has in his heart. And then Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know, this is a medicine that you don't need a prescription for. It's a medicine that you will not overdose on, and it will do you good. Now, I know that sometimes the way we feel physically can affect how we feel in our hearts. And we can have sorrow in our hearts, maybe due to an illness. We just don't feel good that day. And it can affect our physically, and it can affect our feelings otherwise. But the reverse is also true. If we have a bad disposition and we harbor sorrow in our hearts, it can hurt us physically. The way our mind and our body work are tied together. And if you have a merry heart, if you do take medicine, well, it'll help your medicine work better. Now, have a merry heart. Now, I know there are some people that suffer from some imbalance in their body chemistry, and they might take a special pill or something in order to keep them from slipping into depression or something like that. And I'm sure that there's cases where that is so beneficial. But when I read about how much of that is out there, and there are so many people taking so much of these drugs to try to keep themselves happy, I'm wondering if we're not abusing ourselves and robbing our own minds the ability to adjust themselves sometime. Not that some people will need this, but can it really be this bad of a problem that God has made us where no one is going to be happy unless they're taking these medicines? Well, I don't think so. The best medicine to have when you're not feeling well is a merry heart. I know sometimes people will say, well, I'm not going to make it to church tonight because I don't feel good. And certainly there are times where, because you're just physically not well, that you should not try to get out and be around other people, particularly if you can give them something or you're infectious and they could catch something from you. But I've noticed a lot of times if you're feeling bad, maybe because of a dull headache or you're just kind of weary, well, there's such a joy in worshiping our Lord. Now, sometimes going to worship is the way to get over that and to have a merry heart. And so a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Now, these proverbs are written in couplets. And so you have one line, and then a lot of time you have another line that expresses either a parallel thought or an opposite thought or a more intensive thought. And so it is with these three proverbs. Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But the other end of this couplet says, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. Have you ever met someone with a broken spirit? Sorrows can do that to us. And sometimes to overcome sorrows, we go through a grieving process and we help each other. Sometimes we bring our sorrows on ourselves. And you know, sin can bring sorrows as well. And those who have tried the pleasures of sin for a season and have reaped the sorrows that come forth from sin, it can break their spirit. Proverbs 15:15 begins this way. Well, it ends with, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. But it begins, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. You see the contrast there between the continual feast and then all the days that are evil. The afflicted, day after day after day. We read in the book of Ecclesiastes when Solomon is describing the old man where the clouds return after the rain. You know, wintertime can do that to us. Well, you have just one cold, dreary winter day after another, after another, after another. I understand that up in the northwest part of the country, and I have visited up there in Washington and Oregon, and you get over to the coast, and a lot of time due to the weather conditions up there, there is a cloudy, cold drizzle almost every day. for several months going through the winter time, and this can really affect people's attitudes, and people can suffer from depression because of that. And they even have a treatment where people can sit in light and just let the light cheer them up so that they can cope with these dreary days. Well, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. The other proverb is Proverbs 17:22. That's where we, probably the most popular of these proverbs, where we read, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Here's the contrast. "But a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know, when we're talking about the bones of the body, we're talking about something that is deep inside. Have you ever been chilled to the bone? When you've been chilled to the bone, you are cold. And sometimes it takes a while to warm up when you get that cold. You hear the people talk about working their fingers to the bone. Well, you have just worked yourself right down to where your bones are tired and your bones are weary. Now you think about dried bones. You know, if the body was to dry, the last thing to be dry up would be the bones, wouldn't it? And so when you've got dry bones, you are dry. And here it says, "A broken spirit drieth the bones." Remember Proverbs 15:13? "By sorrow of heart the spirit is broken." And then Proverbs 17:22, "A broken spirit drieth up the bones." Well, you need a merry heart. That's the cure to this. I have a little book. It was written many years ago by a man named Leroy Brownlow. The title of that book is Better Than Medicine, A Merry Heart. And he writes about how a lot of our ailments have underlying emotional turmoil behind the physical ailments that we have. We talk about people sometimes who just worry themselves sick, and some trying to treat their sadness do themselves harm. Leroy Brownlow tells us how to have a merry heart. And going through the chapters of that book, he's got one of the first chapters is this: be good to yourself. And then get out of yourself. Don't just think the world revolves around you. Another one: pull yourself together and go one way. Don't just float with the tide, but have a direction to go. Here's another: think with wings. A lot of times we're always thinking of why we can't do things. And a lot of times we can do more than we think we can if we'll get our thinking right. And then this: according to your faith. You know, what the Bible teaches us gives us every reason to have a merry heart. Jesus wanted us to live a joyful life, and he gives us a joyful hope that gets us through the hard times of life. And so we need to have faith. Know what the Bible says and believe it and let it become a part of who we are. Another chapter: the greatest of these. We know what that is. That's 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest of these is love. Learning the ability to love another, to put others ahead of yourself, and to truly care about others. That can give us a merry heart. And then this: keep a good conscience. You know, keeping the conscience clean is so important to happiness in life. Seek peace and pursue it. Don't go out there looking for a fight. And then there's a chapter on cloud breakers, things maybe people can do to break out of this merry heart. And then character and happiness. Now, we're not just talking about laughing. We're talking about something that goes further than that. We're going to say more about a merry heart on a future program. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. And I'll be glad to receive your questions. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.